How did you feel about that?
I was upset, you know, that here he was so loyal to America, working here and so forth too. But I understood the ramification, Japan attacking the U.S. So father says, as we expected, we're Japanese citizens. You're not. So I will be going. Mm-hmm. So he expected to be. Uh-huh. He was prepared for that.
Now they picked him up right after Pearl Harbor.
Right after. One of the first ones that they picked up.
Now, were you angry about what was happening to you as a Nisei and to the others?
Well, I was frankly puzzled that such a thing could happen. But that's life. So that's philosophically.
Yeah. That's putting the good light on it. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you decided to go to Dayton. Why Dayton?
Because there's a YMCA college there. And thinking in terms of going to the youth work, I felt that would be a logical place for me.
So you made the decision about the youth work by that time?
Yes, by that time I made a decision already. And the thing about going to Dayton, did I mention the experience I had in the YMCA when I first arrived in Dayton?
No, no.
Well, the YMCA called me to be athletic director for that time, because they were having a hard time getting staff and so forth, and they heard about me and wanted to have me on the staff because summer was coming on and they wanted me as the athletic director in the camp. Mm-hmm. So one Saturday morning, they called all the boys in for an assembly, and the director went to the center stage and said, "Boys, I want you to meet a Japanese American named Dave. Now I know to most of you, this is the first Japanese you're going to see, and I want you to welcome him." So they all clapped, and the director said, "Okay, Dave, come on to the center stage." So I walked in, and I saw the eager faces there, and I says, "Hi, fellows." It was complete silence for a few minutes, and then they said, "Hi, Dave." And so I said, "You see, I speak your language. I'm just as American as you are, except I have a Japanese face. And I'm going to be the athletic director on this at Camp Kern this summer. And I want to meet every one of you. There's going to be 100 boys going every week to camp. And I expect to see each one of you and get better acquainted." And I said, "I'll try to remember all your names." And that's how I got started.
Now, but when you're telling the story about introducing yourself, when did you stop using Yutaka?
When I went to college.
Oh, but in high school you were still using it?
Yeah. Up to high school, I was Yutaka. Uh-huh. All the people know me as Yutaka in San Pedro. But once I got into the college atmosphere and so forth, instead of using my Japanese name, I better get myself an English name. And that's where I put myself as Dave.
David. So did you picked it yourself?
Yes, I picked it myself.
Any reason for Dave?
It's shorter and it's much more easier for the people to...
Okay. And then you were drafted from Dayton?
Yes. Now, after I got working in the Dayton Y to start corralling staff for the camp, they picked a seminarian named Chet Turner. He was a seminarian that became a minister. Then Art what was his name? Let me look at my book here.
Okay, disconnect here. Or we could get that. I could put the name down later. How's that?
Okay. Gee, he was so. He was a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
In Brookville, Ohio. And he was the arts and craft director for the camp. And then Bob, gee, the name slipped my head. He was selected as a lifeguard.
Mm-hmm.
And we became very close in the camp there. But before camp, it was this Christmas time was coming. And my friend said, Dave, I want you to spend Christmas with my family. And I says, I would be delighted to spend some time with your family. So we set the date before Christmas, take the bus and travel all the way. Well, it was about 26 miles. And when I got to the station, there were four girls. Three girls was at the station. The youngest one was still a youngster at home. They all greeted me and said, welcome to our hometown. And when we went to the house, there, Mrs. Helston, that's her name, Mrs. Helston, was there with Mary Sue. And she was, I guess, about 3 years old, cute as a button. And I looked at her, and she smiled at me, and I picked her up and hugged her, you know. And Mr. Helston and the wife just smiled, and the girls, one was in high school, junior high school, two in junior high school, and one in high school, all girls. And the thing that I recollect from the family, they were Church of the Brethren.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Pacifists.
Mm-hmm.
But they said they want you, Yutaka, to get to get acquainted with the white community, which I will never forget. that Sunday, Mr. Halston said, I want you to say a few words to my Sunday school class before the worship. So I picked up a scripture verse appropriate to that thing, and I related my experience as a Christian. And the kids must have been quite impressed with that thing, and they ran back to their parents and tell them this is Japanese that said that he was a Christian. And when we were at the worship service, one of them said, would you mind reading the scripture at a worship service? And I said, I would prefer to sit with the Halston family and just relax instead of being asked to. So they understood. And then they introduced me. And naturally, most of them never saw a Japanese. And it was quite an experience for them. So the minister mentioned this matter of the war and what it does to people, mm-hmm. and that we as a community have nothing against you, you know, which made me feel real well and welcome. Well, that Sunday when we went home, Mrs. Halston made southern fried chicken with all the trimming. And I must have made a pig myself because they were amazed at the amount of chicken that I consumed. They still talk about it. And Mrs. Halston says, you can come back any time because to see you eat and enjoy my cooking is a compliment to me.
Well, but by this time you would become accustomed to non-Japanese food.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So I enjoyed the American-type food.
Yeah. Tell me about getting drafted.
All right. From Dayton, Ohio, I was asked to report to, what was it? I think it was at Columbus, Ohio, to the center where they would get all the young draftees come. And when we got there, they made us put in the resume of our history. Mm-hmm. And naturally, I put down on my thing that the YMCA and being a black belt, mm-hmm. judo. And all of that, they called me in and said, we're going to utilize your skill as a combat judo instructor. And that would be at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. So among all the Japanese that was there, most of the Japanese went to a segregated camp, mm-hmm. for the Japanese soldiers, mm-hmm. whereas I was sent to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, to be the combat judo instructor. But before that, I had to take the basic training. So where did I go for? I guess it was at Fort Bragg, Carolina. But I had to take so many weeks of compulsory training for becoming a soldier. And after that, I trained the 82nd Airborne Division paratroopers on combat judo.
Oh.
And I did this for quite some time. Whereas people were sent overseas for there, and I didn't go. I was,
so the war was still on at this point.
War was still on.
Uh-huh. Well, because so many of the Nisei who spoke Japanese were then used after the war for military intelligence, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
So in the same way why I was instructor for. So it was quite an experience.
How did people, particularly since you were the only Japanese around, how did people respond to you at the base and in, was in the South?
No, at the base, at the Fort Bragg, North Carolina, there were Japanese, some in dot and dash, whatever you call that. What there were several areas that some Japanese were there too, but I was in my own Japanese and own Hakujin, all white.
Huh. And how about when you went into town? What was the?
There were. I didn't have any experience, bad experience at all.
Because when when the war was over, you were sent to Germany.
I requested to go to Germany to this experience an overseas thing, and they sent me to a clothing warehouse place, and there we supervised the German civilians in the warehouse. So that was quite a here. I thought I was going to experience some exciting things, but I was sent to a clothing warehouse area.
And that's where you were the whole time?
I was there for some time, then came back.
And so you didn't use your athletic
No.
Now, when you were training, was the assumption that there was going to be hand-to-hand combat when you were training these people in jiu-jitsu?
No, mine was more of a stealth, you know, creeping toward, you know, and there's a certain fold that you could use to knock a guy down, so that kind.
I see.
So it kind of became boring, you know, doing this over and over again. So I said, hey, I can't stay in the United States while people are fighting. But it was during that time that I guess the war was just coming to an end, anyway.
Should have picked France.
Yeah.
And then was you had decided on, now had you become a Presbyterian yet, or were you still a Baptist?
Let's see, how did that happen? No, I came back. I came back from the thing. And the minister of the Baptist Church was a person by the name of Reverend Paul Nagano. And he was a pastor of the Evergreen Baptist Church in downtown Los Angeles. So I joined his church and became quite active in the activities there. And after being there for a while, I became the director of Christian education for the church. And then while there, the people were returning to Los Angeles relocation centers, and they found out that the boys were hanging around Little Tokyo with nothing to do. And the leaders said, we need to have a youth leader. And they asked for the YMCA headquarters, who they can recommend. And They knew a Dave Nakagawa that was in Dayton, Ohio. So they called me in. And he said, we have a problem. There's this boys hanging over and doing nothing, they're going to get into trouble. And we would like you to be the youth project director for the YMCA.
Oh. So now, these were teenagers?
These were teenagers. Mm-hmm. So I started working in Little Tokyo. Now, where to have my headquarters? And I went to the LA Union Church. They had the old the Pilgrim Church, but it was occupied by the black community. So I went to the black minister and told him my predicament, that I'm here now to work with the young boys and I need a place to meet. Is it possible that we can meet in your basement or something? And he says, by all means. He was very gracious. He said, you can use the basement as long as you want to. So that was my meeting place, although my headquarters was 7th and Hope Street.
Oh, that near the old library?
Yes.
Ah.
I was, my headquarters, my desk and everything, I was at the 7th and Hope YMCA.
Oh, I know.
You know where that is.
Yeah, because Hope Street dead ended at the library.
That's
and there
right.
was this building.
That's
right.
right.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that building.
Well, from there, I would go to Little Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would recruit all the Protestant churches in that area that have boys, and I organized them into Y clubs in the church. So the Baptist church, we had three Y clubs there, see? And that's where I began my ministry with the Baptist church
mm-hmm.
and all the others. And I was there for 4 years. Meanwhile, my friend who lives in Pasadena, by the name of Tommy Thompson, heard of my work with the Y, and he was a director of the Pasadena Y, and he was desperately in need of I'm a youth leader
mm-hmm.
for a branch. And so he said, he came to my home, explained the transition of us going in Pasadena, where the blacks and the whites were not in good term. And the one at the Little Street Clubhouse were blacks and whites and so forth, but becoming more and more black. And it was wondering whether I would take over that branch. So I felt that there was a challenge, and I said, I'd be glad to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had to go through a change of my philosophical thinking of blacks, because I didn't expect the kind of reception I was going to be getting, because there were several who were before me who couldn't take the vandalism and all that kind of going. And I tried my usual pattern of discipline. If they don't behave, out you go. And did all this kind of thing, but then my car antenna would be busted,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. The windows would be cracked,
mm-hmm.
and as soon as they get cracked, I would replace it. And this went on for quite some time, and then I said, you know, I guess I better throw in my towel. It's just no use. And so my desk was there with the open window, and they could see me. And then one day, five boys came in. And they says, Dave, we heard rumors that you're going to leave. And I said, the way you guys are treating me, why, I'm just about to throw a towel in. And then to my amazement, I could see tears coming down the eyes of the boys. And I stared in amazement. I said, what's going on? And they said, Dave, don't go. We want to test you. And I know you like us, but we want to test you like the rest of them, you know? I want to say, well, you guys can go so far. He says, I'm just about to cave in. He says, don't worry, we'll fix that. And the next day I come in, the boys are smiling. They're saying, hi, Dave. And sure enough, they changed the disciplinary thing, gone. They're cooperating. And so I said, I thank the Lord for the experience that he gave me. And the aftermath of this drama, when I was at the Pasadena Boys Club as a director, I was on the Pasadena Crown City Optimist Club, a service club, and I was asked to be the chairman of the Youth Appreciation Night, and they want to honor one of the boys from the community for this festival. And out of the application we received was the name of Robert Fisher. Robert Fisher was a star football player, a black. And no father, mother, and he was supporting, working part-time and doing volunteer work. And out of all the application, we picked Robert Fisher to be the recipient. And so I told Robert Fisher's mom to have him come to the office, my office in the Pasadena Boys Club. And when he came in, 6'2", huge, black athlete, and I shook his hand, and I says, my name is Dave Nakagawa. And then to my amazement, he says, Dave, are you the same Dave that worked at the Villa Street Boys Club so many years ago? I know you don't recognize me, but I was one of the five boys that came into your office. And you turned us around.
Huh.
And I just couldn't believe it. And we just hugged each other. And I said, Mom, it's hard to believe. But he says, it was your discipline that made us realize that you meant well. And I've never forgotten that.
Well, it's obvious that you have tremendous influence on these boys. Really,
it was amazing that that happened.
I want to ask you, I think we talked about, I think the other tape talks about your career a fair amount, and we touched on it a little bit. I wanted to ask you, so many of the Terminal Islanders seem to become Presbyterians. And I